abundant love is eternally available for those who follow His guidance and who accept Him. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And our choicest salutations and greetings on the last Prophet of Islam, that most humblest and most submissive servant of God, who then reached the highest spiritual status possible for any human being, a status at which then God granted him that final and most comprehensive plan for the guidance of mankind. And our salutations on his holy progeny and on the last remnant of that holy progeny. Scholars of Islam and teachers of Islam, elders and brethren in Islam, Salamun Alaikum. You notice we have been taught in the ziyarah that we recite for the day of Jumu'ah, Friday, that this is a day specific for the 12th Imam. وَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ وَهُوَ يَوْمُكْ. This is the Friday and this is your day. الْمُتَوَقَّعُ فِيهِ ظُهُورُكْ. It is a day when we hope that your reappearance will take place. And therefore it behooves us to remind ourselves about the 12th Imam. Many of you may already know what I'm about to speak, but this should serve as a reminder. Basically, I wish to discuss the questions of who is he, and where is he, and what is he doing, and why is he there altogether, and why keep him in ghaiba. As far as the question of who is he is concerned, there is no doubt in any Muslim's mind, because there are unanimous reports. There are so abundant reports that you cannot have any doubt that the Prophet did say that from my progeny one man will remain to fill the whole of the earth with justice. To the extent that he is reported to have said, the Holy Prophet, that لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ وَاحِدٌ. If circumstances so turn out that there is not only one day that remains before the end of the earth, and this son of mine has not yet made his reappearance, لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. God would prolong that day. It's in his definite plan for creation. حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ رَجُلًا مِّنْ أَهْلُ بَيْتِي. Up until such time when a man will be raised from my progeny, إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي. His name will be my name. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. His primary task will be to fill the whole of the earth with justice. بَعْدَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. After the whole of the earth would have been filled with injustice. As far as his identity, as to who is he is concerned, there is no doubt in any Muslim's mind of who is he, that he is a member of the Ahlul Bayt. His primary task is to fill the earth with justice. True, the Quran may not have made a direct reference by name of who he is, but the general message of the Quran can, in some verses, can only fit if you apply it to him. Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah number 33, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. In God's plan, He sent the final guidance. And the purpose of this guidance was لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that this righteous way of life may come to prevail over the whole of the earth. The final messenger has come, the final message has already come, but the message has not yet prevailed over the earth. Does God speak the untruth? Answer is no. It's very clear that there is yet a successor of this final messenger who will cause the final message to prevail over the earth. There are several other verses in the Quran which clearly indicate that the final plan of God is for the right message to spread all over, and the successor of the messenger who is going to do it will be the 12th Imam. So that's question one. Who is he? Question two. Where is he? The reason we ask this question, where is he, is because we believe according to the Shia faith, he's already born. If he's already born, where is he? In order to answer this question, we need to understand, what does it mean for Imam to be in the state of ghaiba? He's hidden. What does that mean? There are two possible meanings of ghaiba. One meaning that he is hidden is that he may be physically present in a community or a society or a nation, but whenever you look in his direction, he may be there, but he's physically invisible. You cannot see him. By God's miraculous powers, miraculously, he is invisible. And we have precedents in history where this is exactly how ghaiba did take place. Recall the incident when the Prophet had to escape from the surrounding mushrikeen during his hijrah from Mecca to Medina. Recall those incidents when mushrikeen wanted to attack him, and for the safety of the final messenger, he was made invisible. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبَصِّرُونَ. God has done it in the past, where for purposes of his universal plan, he needs to protect and save a very important personality, he makes him invisible. We have riwayat from our imams which tell us that this is one sense in which the imam is ghaib. For example, Rayyan bin Salt narrates from Imam Rida Salamullah Ali that Imam says that la yura jismu, his body cannot be seen, he's invisible. Or there's another riwayat from the sixth Imam where he says that Al-Khamisu min wuldi sabi', that the fifth son of the seventh Imam, the fifth generation, you will not be able to see him. Well, we have riwayat that this is one sense in which the Imam is ghaib. That means he may be present amongst us in various Muslim countries or anywhere in the world, but we may not be able to see him. But it is a miraculous way of being in hiding. There is a second meaning in which the Imam is in hiding, and that also is indicated to us in the riwayat and in the Quran. And that is, the Imam may be present in a society or a community or a nation, and people see him, and he sees the people, he recognizes the people, but people don't recognize him. They think he's an ordinary person, and they miss him out. You recall the incident narrated in the Quran when the brothers of Prophet Yusuf came to Misr. They thought they had dumped him in the well and he perished. When they saw him physically, but they did not recognize this is the brother. In the riwayat also we are told that this is one sense in which the Imam is present, but ghaib. His second safir, Muhammad bin Uthman al-Amri, the second safir, says, Wallah, I swear by God, إِنَّ صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ لَيَحْظُرُ الْمَوْسِمَ كُلَّ سَنَةً. I swear by God, I see him, the Safir sees him. This Imam attends the ceremonies and the rituals of Hajj every year. يَرَى النَّاسَ وَيَعْرِفُهُمْ. He sees the people and he recognizes them. وَيَرَوْنَهُ. The people see him, وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ. But they don't recognize who is he. They meet him, but he's an ordinary human being to them, and they miss him out. Yet another tradition we have which says that this is the sense in which the Imam is ghaib. The third Safir, Shaykh Abu al-Qasim Hussein bin Rawh Nawbakhti. Nawbakhti family was a famous Shia family which had prominent scholars. One of them was Abu Sahal Nawbakhti. When Abu Sahal was asked, how come you were not selected by the Imam to become the Safir? How come your other relative Hussein bin Rawh Nawbakhti was selected to become the Safir? Abu Sahal replies, well, the Imams know best. When they select, they know whom to choose. But perhaps, you see, I'm in contact with the enemies, and the enemies are in search of the Imam. And because of these frequent contacts that I have with the enemies, perhaps under pressure I would succumb and reveal the identity. Look at the words he uses. I would reveal the identity. If the Imam is present and invisible, even if I told you he's here, the enemy wouldn't be able to catch him because he's invisible. It's only possible if the Imam is present physically, We can see him but cannot recognize or identify him. So two meanings of ghaiba. An imam lives in both ways. In those circumstances where it is necessary for his protection to become invisible, by miracle he does become invisible. Or there is no need to apply a miracle. The Prophet never lived a life fully of miracles. Whenever there is no need, miracles are not applied. And logically it is possible. You see, when the Imam was born in 255 AH, the only few people who knew about him were the mother, the father and the aunt. And Imam Hasan al-Askari made sure that only selected companions actually came to see him. During his 5-year period of his father's life, only a selected number of people actually saw him. At the time of the burial ceremony, when he made his appearance, again a few people did see him. But subsequent to that, from 260 AH to 329 AH, the period of Ghaybat al-Sughra, there were 4 people who were in direct contact and visualization of him. Come 329 AH, 6 days before the demise of the 4th Safir, he gets a letter, "You are not going to die, and I am now going to enter under the will of God into a long period of occultation whose end only God knows." Come 329 AH, and there is not a single living human being on the earth who has seen the Imam. And the Imam can come out in the society and nobody would know who he is if he appears in his ordinary garb. And therefore he can stay in different Muslim cities for different periods of time. And the Muslim world is huge. There are hundreds of cities. He can stay in a city for a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades in such a manner that he does not arouse suspicion. Because remember, the most important reason he is in ghaiba is to hide his identity up until such time when he can carry out his final plan. He can stay in various cities. Should there be the danger of his identity being revealed, he just migrates from there and goes to another city. So, he's present amongst us. In fact, we even made a meeting him, but we don't recognize him. Question number 3. What is he doing? I wish to answer this question by considering the reports and the incidents of people who have met him. What do they report to us about what he did with them? There are hundreds of reports of people who did get the honor of seeing him and receiving some sort of assistance or help from him. From the type of assistance, we can understand what type of activities he is carrying out. These hundreds of reports can be categorized into some categories. So for example, 1, we find that there are several incidents where we have prominent scholars who come across problems and they don't know answers to these questions, and they go out and seek the Imam, and on some cases they do meet the Imam answers them. Essentially, we believe that all knowledge comes from God, all knowledge. But God provides His knowledge through media, through different mediums, through different agents. These agents can be angels, or they can be the Imam himself or the Prophet himself. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. God is the one who teaches man that he knows not. How? Either by direct inspiration in the heart, or by his angels who bring in the positive messages. If the devil can put temptations in our heart, God's abundant mercy decrees that angels can put positive thoughts and feelings in our hearts and minds. And 3, the third manner in which God can provide knowledge is through his agents, the Imam. So we have occasions where the ulama may be in difficulties about knowledge, and they get the answer from God through the agency of the Imam. Take a second category. Several reports are there that people are traveling and they get lost and they don't know the way out. Had it not been for a rescue, they would have died. And then they come across a person in different guises, different stories tell different garbs in which he appears. He talks to them like a normal person. He consoles them and then he takes them to their safety. And before they realize that something miraculous has happened, oh yes, the imam has to leave behind a signature. Otherwise you wouldn't know that the person you met is the imam. During the process of meeting him, and in the entire process of being with him, people don't usually realize they are with him. It's only after he has left that they suddenly begin to think. When they're out of that stressful situation and they're calm and they're thinking well, they realize that this was an extraordinary event. It was a miraculous event, and the man therefore I met was the imam. So cases of rescuing in problems where people get lost. Again, God is the original savior. He either saves directly, or he saves through inspiration from angels, or maybe by dreams, or he saves through his physical agents, the imam. Surah An'am, chapter 6, ayah number 63. Qul, O Prophet, now God is teaching the Prophet to argue with the mushrikeen who don't believe in God. Tell them, مَنْ يُنَجِّيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ تَدْعُونَهُ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً لَإِنْ أَنْجَانَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. O Prophet, ask them, have they not ever in their lives experienced a situation where they are in deep trouble, either on the seas, they're traveling on the boat, and there are strong winds against which they have no power, there are high waves against which they have no power, their money cannot work, their contacts, relatives and friends cannot work, the person, the skilled expert, the captain cannot save them. At that time, did they not say at the bottom of their heart, yes, there is a power in the universe who can save me? Did they not pray, تَدْعُونَهُ تَضَرُّعًا, earnestly, sincerely, submissively, humbly? وَخُفْيَةً, they didn't even say it. At the bottom of their heart, they thought these things. Oh God, please save me. If you do save me, I'll be a good person. That's a challenge that God makes through the Prophet to all the disbelievers. Everyone in his life will undergo this test where God will openly question this man. Don't you think there is a Lord in the universe? The next ayah. قُلِ اللَّهُ يُنَجِّيكُمْ. Ask them, who saves? The next ayah says, God is the one who saves. مِنْهَا, from such situations, وَمِنْ كُلِّ كَرْبٍ, and from every other trouble. God is the original savior. He either does it directly, or through his agents, the angels, by inspiration, or he does it through his physical agents, the imam. So we have stories of the imam acting as the agent of God to carry out the savior and the salvation act of God. A third category of the activities of the imam. There are several reports, and you can classify them into one group. People who become sick, and their sickness is incurable. And there are incidents when the imam makes his appearance. Sometimes he just keeps his hand, sometimes he makes a dua. And that incurable illness is healed. Again, we believe original healing comes only from God. Remember Prophet Ibrahim? Where he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي. Surah Shu'ara, ayah number 80. When I become sick, the only power that heals me is God and God alone. True, we need to go to doctors, but doctors will only prescribe you specific agents and chemicals whose effects have been God designed. The doctor does not put the effect in that drug. The effect in that drug is God designed and God created. The efficacy of that drug is God designed and God ordered. So healing is done either by physical agents, or it can be done by spiritual agents. In the case where imam personally comes, it seems that God's healing power comes right now, not through the agent of drugs, it comes through the agency of the imam. We have yet a fourth category. Several reports are there, people are in trouble, their spirits are down, they just don't know what to do, and the imam comes and uplifts their spirits. Again, the uplifting of spirits comes from God basically. The human heart, with all its thoughts, with all its consciousness, with all its feelings, is entirely under the control of God. In fact, Marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Al-Mizan, when he makes the tafsir of this ayah in Surah Anfal, where God says, "In wa'alamu anna Allaha yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbih," that God is so close to man that he is closer to him than his very own heart. My heart is that which is the center of my feelings, my thoughts, my consciousness, my experiences, my memories. God says, I'm closer to every man than his own heart. That means, Allama Tawatalai says, before any thought enters my heart, God is before that thought, God is with that thought, God is after that thought, God is between me and that thought. Even before I think the thought, God is nearer to me and God is nearer to that thought. Can you ever imagine a closeness greater than this? So if God is so close to a person's heart, he can influence the heart. Of course, God doesn't work in a haphazard manner. He works in a manner of wisdom. And his wisdom is, when a heart is ready to receive the truth, the abundant mercy of God, it flows. It flows either directly, or through the agency of his angels, or through the agency of the physical human being, the Imam. And so we have cases reported where people meet the Imam, and when they are depressed or dejected or in trouble, Imam uplifts their spirit. Yet another example, another category, where Imam meets people and guides them how to live a spiritually healthy life. I'm in trouble. When I'm in conflict, when I'm in stress, do I go to drugs to relieve my stress? Do I go to alcohol to relieve my stress? Do I go and seek assistance from others? Or should I turn to God? That guidance sometimes is given by the Imam. Look at this dua that we recite often, dua al-faraj. Ilahi azum al-bala. I know by nature that when I'm in difficulty, I should seek the help of the All-Powerful One. But how should I do that? The manner of talking to him, that has been taught to me by the Imam. This dua has been taught to us by the 12th Imam. A person was in trouble. In order to release him and relieve him from that trouble, Imam teaches him, recite this dua. Look at the wordings. And you find that this is the way you express your humility, your submissiveness, your nothingness before God. And when God sees the heart is ready, the help flows, either directly or through the angels or through his agents. This is just a sampling. The list is much longer than this. Essentially, therefore, the Imam is not sitting idle somewhere. He is active. He is carrying out his duties of guidance. And one of the duties of guidance is to influence people's hearts. In fact, some ulama believe that the inspiration to carry out major projects of goodness for mankind, the inspiration originates from the Imam. If the temptation can come from shaitan to do something evil, then God's abundant mercy has his Imam to give the inspiration to do good acts. True, it may reach us after many media, after many agents. I would have heard it from X, who gives me a good idea. X heard it from Y. Y heard it from Z. Z perhaps met the Imam. The Imam just talked to him like an ordinary person. But the inspiration passes through a chain and reaches me. I have the means, I carry it out. And this is what we believe is one of the roles of the Imam. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ Surah Anbiya أَئِمَّةً يَهَدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And we have made them leaders who guide the people through their hearts. They influence their hearts. So we have answered the questions of who is he and where is he and what is he doing. We just got a sampling of what is he doing. But why is he there? In order to appreciate the purpose of the creation of Imam, we need to understand that as Shias, we believe that God's mercy is abundant and unlimited. God knows that in his wisdom that he has created man with certain limitations. One of the limitations of man is his mind cannot fathom all the secrets of the universe. He cannot understand everything, all the realities of the world. And therefore, for him to know what is the best life for him for his success is impossible. Witness and evidence for that is the fact that so many attempts have been made by man to bring happiness and success to himself, and they fail. And they will continue to fail. So God, in his wisdom and out of his love and mercy, therefore sends a plan for man's happiness and for man's success in the form of the Sharia. And along with the plan, he sends obviously the messenger. We believe that the first man on earth has to be God's representative. The last man alive on earth has to be the representative of God. And in between, throughout, no man, mankind will never ever be left without a representative. That's our belief. Why? Because we believe God is all wise. Why? Because we believe God is all loving. He knows our predicament, and therefore to solve that predicament, this is the solution. The plan started to be sent by Adam, and it gradually evolved and improved and developed with different prophets who came, and with the different Sharia, with Prophet Nuh, and with Prophet Musa, and Ibrahim, and Isa, till it reached the final and the most comprehensive plan in the hands of the Prophet. So the plan is ready for mankind's success. The messenger who was to carry out the plan has already brought the plan. Two. Three, there's a third component. You don't only need a plan and a prophet and a leader or the successor of the prophet or leader. You need people to carry out the plan. God's plan is not to impose upon people. It's not to force people to live a righteous life. It's a choice that people will have to make on their own. God has given them the mind and the heart to understand what's true. He has sent the truth. Now people have to realize what the truth is, accept it, and make a commitment to live by it. So the plan is there. The prophet or the successor of the prophet is there. People are not yet ready. The prophets came, people were partially ready. After that, successors came, one after another. 11 of them came, but people were yet not ready. A simplistic understanding, but it's a very important one, can be this particular example. Hujjat al-Islam, Sheikh Mohsen Qaraati, is a television preacher in Iran. He's given this beautiful example. He says, imagine you go to a classroom and you want to guide the students, and in order to carry out instruction, you place certain lights. And some students are naughty because it's against their interest or for whatever reason. They go and knock out the light and break the light. So you go and warn them. Don't do that. It's not good for you. You put a second light. And they go and knock it out. And you put a third one and then knock it out and a fourth one and then knock it out. 11 lights and 11 guides were sent by God. People are not yet ready to accept them. The plan is ready. The prophet or the messenger's successor is ready. People are not yet ready. So the reason why Imam is there is so that mankind matures and mankind develops slowly up until such time that all experiments, all human experiments with different governments, different lifestyles, different ways of achieving happiness will miserably fail. Mankind will reach a point of disappointment and disenchantment and disillusionment with every solution being made by the human mind. They will be seeking for a divine plan. When that readiness, that general readiness is there amongst mankind, and when specific number of people, 313 we are told, when specific number of people, the leaders of the revolution, when they're going to be ready, and God is going to train them, and God trains them by testing them. Whenever God tests a person, He is training that person. You can fail in that test by complaining, by going for your bodily pleasures, by not resisting, by not becoming firm, by not becoming determined, by not developing sabr, by not strengthening your faith. You're succumbing, you're failing. But there are those in the tests who become firm, who become stronger. Look at all the zulm and the oppression that's taking place, be it in Afghanistan, or in Lebanon, or in Iraq, or in Iran, or in Kosovo, or in the Central Asian republics. In all these cases of oppression, people who face zulm, there are those few who begin to resist, who begin to say no, who begin to strengthen their faith, who develop a hatred for zulm, for injustice, who develop an intense love for justice. Once those conditions are there, the people are now ready. There is general readiness in mankind to receive a divine call. There is readiness amongst a few selected leaders, 313 of them. The plan is there, and the successor is there, and he makes his reappearance, and the revolution would begin. Let's pray to Allah to give us tawfiq to be able to realize the historical moment in which we are living and the plan that God has created for us, and out of His mercy the message that He has sent for us, and the messenger and the messenger's successor, and that final implementation of the plan which is awaiting our readiness. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.